Praise the Lord. As we continue with our teaching about the Apostle Creed, can we all read, if we can we all read what is in there? 1, 2, 3. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. Just end up there. Because that's what we are going to talk about today. He is coming to judge the living and the dead. I don't know why it's happened today, while one of us has been taken from us, and then today we are talking about that. God has got the purpose. Maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe God is reminding us to remind the loved one that this day, the day is coming. That this world is not our home. We are just passing by. Our home is in heaven. Because he is coming back. He will come to judge the living and the dead. This morning, Rob said about the writing on the, is it the church there? Say that, why do you wait for that day? Why don't you come by yourself? It's just like Rob was summarizing my sermon for today. Why are you waiting for that day to come, for him to come? Why don't you come yourself? Because he's calling. He's calling us to come. So before I go ahead, let us read the word from Revelation chapter 21. I start from verse 1. It's a little bit long, so you spare with me. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be with their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, and beginning and the end. I will give unto him who is athirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. You know, in this life, some of us, we think maybe it's for I don't know, but as I said before, we are just passing. We are traveling. We are on the journey. And we don't know when our day is. It's only God knows our days. For he has our life in the palms of his hand. You hear many times people talking about good things. They said, oh, this is like heaven. They are eating food, maybe it's nice. They say, oh, this is like heaven. And I do ask myself, do they really know what is heaven like? If they know heaven is something is really, really, really good, why don't we longing to be there one day? Why don't we cry that we need to be on that place which is so good? Because you find even non-Christian, they say, oh, this is like heaven. But I wonder if they know really what they are talking about when they say, this is like heaven. The question this morning is, if we die today, where will we go? Where will you go? Where am I going? If you don't have answer for that today, we need to pray for you. You need to decide. Because heaven is really, and hell is real. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 to 19, I'm reading from New International Version. It says this: "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there. So we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." He's coming back. It's not a story. This is real. And for us, if he will tarry, we need to be clean. We need to be the one who will be caught up with him, to go with him. Because when he comes, where will he find us? Where will he find you? Every foundation of Christianity is death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For it is the proof of life after death. Because if Jesus didn't die and rose again, we will not have hope. He gave us hope that there is a life after death, because he rose again on the third day. He conquered the grave. He gave us this hope that after this life, there is another life. So the question is, when is he coming? The Bible tells us no one knows, even the Son. Believers, we need to be watchful. We must be constantly vigilant and make sure our loyalty to him is not diverted through deception. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm paraphrasing, verse 1 and 2, say that in the last days, many will depart from their faith. They will abandon their faith and allowing deceiving spirits. We need to be careful people of what we listen, of what we read, on what teaching do we follow. Because the Bible said clearly, on the last day, there will be a lot of deceiving spirits. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us that discernment to know which spirit we should follow. But the Bible said clearly, we should know them by their fruits. Also in Matthew chapter 24, verse 23, say that, "Then if any man shall say unto you, look, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise many false Christ prophets who will tell you, he's here, he's there. Don't listen to them, because the Bible says no one knows the day. Even the Son doesn't know the day. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known of what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken to. You know, for us who are from Africa, when we talk about this thing of thief, we know it very well. Because in Africa, the thief is not like here. In Africa, when you close your door, you need, in fact, most of the doors, if not all, we have something like shutters outside the door to prevent us from the thief. Because they do come by force. And they will kick the door and come inside and take whatever they could. And if you try to resist, they might kill you. So in Africa, we are very watchful about the thief, more than even how they are watchful for the day of coming, because we know any time they will come. So we need to be watchful. We need to be ready every time. As he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 to 10, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for helmet of hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. The day is coming. I will keep on repeating this sentence because it's so important. The day is coming when all mankind will appear before the throne of God. And that day is the day of final and ultimate judgment. Every human being will answer to the Lord. Therefore, it's our choice today to answer now by accepting him as the Lord and the Savior, or later on a judgment day. Now or later on the judgment day. I don't think any one of us we want to answer later. We want to answer it now by accepting him as the Lord and our Savior. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Try to think of those words. Let them sink in your heart, in your mind and your heart. I am the way, the truth, and the life. 2 Timothy chapter 4 said, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, many of us Christians, we don't want to be told what really it is about this day, which will ultimately come. We just want to be told the things we want to hear. All day we want to hear nice things. This one is not a bad thing because it is preparing us for the last day. It is preparing us for the eternal life. It's preparing us for the race we are running. Because if you are not told about the judgment day, if you are not told about the last day, why are we running this race? Are we running in vain? When you talk about judgment, people, they feel condemned. People, they feel like they are being judged. But it is good to be judged today than to wait for that day. It is good to feel condemned today that you will open up your heart and decide which way to go. It is good to feel like someone is judging you, so you will examine your life and turn back. The good news is that the hell will only be the consequence of the sinful lifestyle. Because he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, I'm paraphrasing, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whomsoever believe in him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. It's not a purpose or plan of God any one of us should perish. He gave us a perfect gift of sacrifice, which is Jesus, who died on the cross for the remission of our sin. And this gift is available for each one of us. Is available for anyone who will open their heart and say, yes, I need you, Lord. Is available for anyone and say that, you know what, I'm tired of this life. I need to change my life. I don't want to run this race in vain. I want to run knowing that I will receive a crown on that day. This gift is available. He has given us assurance of being a new creation. Don't let anyone lie to you that, you know, the devil will speak to your mind, will corrupt your mind, will tell you, you know what? You will never be forgiven. Your sin is too much. What you've done is too much. You've done this, you've done that. Any voice which is reminding you of the past is of devil, because he's the liar. He's a liar and the biggest liar of all. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things anew. He will not remember no more what you've done yesterday, what you've done last year, what you've done many years ago. He will not remember anymore. You'll be a new creation. Paul went on to say that Jesus had reconciled us with God, and through grace we become righteousness of God. And therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we should know that the grace of God has no probation. It's not that he said, I'm forgiving you today and I'm just watching you, how will you do? Or you are under probation or you are under rehabilitation. There is nothing like that through the grace of God. No matter what you've done, the moment you ask for forgiveness, it's like we have never, ever sinned. We are justified. We become children of God. As he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we accept him, we are God's children. So what do we need to acquire this salvation? It's a gift of God. And it's not based upon our goodness. It's not based upon our efforts. And we don't need to do anything to gain it. It's a gift from God, free of charge. It is God's grace. And if we accept it, we can have eternal life. What we need to do is just to say yes. Just to say yes. Through the grace of God, he will lead us on living the life which pleases him. Because the moment we say yes to God, when we say yes and invite Jesus in our life, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And that Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin. You can look at your life. There are things you used to do, but now you don't do it again. It's not because there is something in you is telling you that you can't do this. There are places you used to love to go, but you don't want to go. It's because your spirit doesn't want you to go there. It's the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in you, who is leading us to righteousness through God's grace. Because he said in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Can we go to Titus chapter 2, verse 11? He said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The moment you accept Jesus, this grace is available on the basis of your faith in Christ. This grace is available to each one of us the moment we say, Jesus, we invite you to our heart. And this grace, verse 12, is said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. To live righteous, soberly, and godly in this present world as it is now, it's not an easy thing. But through the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in us, through the help of Holy Spirit, we can. Because of that grace which has appeared to us. Because of that grace which is in us. Because if we trust him, if we fix our eyes on him, he will help us to overcome. Because he said, in this world there will be many trials, many things, but I have overcome the world. And he will help us to overcome whatever comes on our way. John 16:18, he said, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. There are three things which I established which we need to receive the grace of God. There might be more than that, but I did establish three of them. We need to recognize and acknowledge who is Jesus. Acknowledge that he is the only Son of God who was sent to the world to redeem us, as he said in John 3:16. Number two, believe that he died at the cross for us to restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. For as believers, if we don't understand the atonement, we will not understand the Word of God, and we will not understand the grace of God, and we will not understand the Bible. We need to understand how Jesus reconciles us to God. We need to understand the price He paid for us. We need to understand He came down on earth to redeem us. If we don't understand us, that no matter how we read the Word of God, we will not understand. For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God. Also, we need to believe that He was raised from dead on the third day. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, He said that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. If we do understand all those, we are in a right path. And finally, we need to repent. If we understand all those things, we need to repent. Or we need to respond to His invitation by allowing Him to be the Lord to our lives. In Acts 3:19 said, I repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Commit yourself to live life as a follower of Jesus by loving the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. If we follow this, we will not be worried, because we know when that day comes, we have assurance in life. Not because of good works, not because of who we are, but because of our decision to follow Him. As the song said earlier, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. If we decide to follow Him, we don't need to listen what people are saying, what people are thinking of us. We decide with all our heart, we decide to follow Jesus, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Because the Bible tells us that it's a joy in heaven over one sinner repentant. As in Luke chapter 15 speak of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. All these three things were lost, but the owners, they didn't give up. They searched for them. I like the parable of all of the three. They are nice, but the one which the lost coin, you just lose a coin. You know, a coin is just a small thing, and then decide to light up a lamp to look for it. You might say, oh, it's just a coin, but decided to look for it before God's high eyes. That's how we are. He will look for us no matter where we are. He will search for us. No one is too small before God's eye. We are all valuable. He will light up the light and look for us. And we cannot hide from the eyes of the Lord. Because the Bible says clearly, where should we hide from His? Even if we go to hell, there He will see us. There is nowhere to hide from the eyes of the Lord. So we better make our choice today. Make our decision today. Whom shall we follow? Whom shall we serve? He will search for us until He finds us, until we hear His voice. Because He doesn't want any of us to perish. In Revelation chapter 3, and verse 20 to 22, He says that, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit say to the churches. You know, when they say, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit say to the churches. It's a bit scary. Because he said, I have already said it. It's up to you to hear or not. It's up to you to respond or not. It's your choice. He said, whoever has ear, let them hear what the Spirit say to the churches. He has pleaded with us long enough. So if you have ears, it's up to you. For me, I just think like he said, it's up to you now. I've said what I have to say. And I'm still waiting for you. I'm still knocking. I'm still, my arms are open. I'm still waiting for you. When I think of this, I do go back when he was at the cross, when he was crucified. When they crucified him, they put him at the crossroad in the seat. And I do ask myself, why was that? Although those who crucified him, they didn't know who he was. But I think it was the plan of God. On the crossroad, whoever is coming from east, west, north, south, they will see. They will see. And you know what they wrote on it? They say, the King of Jews. And then one of them said, don't say that. He said, the King of Jews. Say that. He said, I'm the King. He said, what I've wrote, I've wrote. So they proclaimed to the all mankind that this is the King of the Jews. Why? They didn't know. At the one who killed him, but at the one who was preaching to people, this is the King, follow him. And they put him on the crossroad that whoever who is coming from wherever you're coming, you can see that invitation. And his hands were open, inviting us, ready to embrace us, ready to welcome us home. So he's calling this morning. He's calling us. And his arms are still open. He's calling us to come back home. The table is already prepared. Come home. It's a supper time. Come home. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us, for he doesn't want any of us to perish. There is this hymn say that, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was applied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. We have a liberty, people. It has already given to us. It's up to us to receive that grace. It's up to us to embrace that grace which was given to us free of charge. Free, that when that day comes, we will rejoice with him. We will be singing with him. We will be with him walking on that street of gold. They said there will be the streets of gold. Just imagine anything which you think is so beautiful. Everyone, you have got something which in your mind you think is so beautiful. That's where you'll be walking. Imagine the song which you can't have enough of it. It will be even 10 times, if it's not 100 times better, they will be singing on that day. When you hear the song, you don't want it to end. You say, oh, this song is so nice. So they will be singing in even nicer way than you know it. And there he will say, well done, faithful servant. I pray that we will hear this call and none of us will be left behind. I pray that we will tell our loved one that there is a life after death, that the life doesn't end here. We are only passing by. The life begins on that day. You know, I was thinking of Audrey. It's a silly thought anyway. I was thinking of it, and I'm thinking, now she's just rejoicing, dancing. Is she not looking at Jim and feel sorry? It's a silly thought. Honestly, I didn't think about that, and I said, now she's rejoicing. Is she not looking behind and thinking, why did I leave? What will be for Jim now? It's a silly thought, but anyway, that's how it is. She's rejoicing now. Even if there was a chance to come back, if there is a chance, I don't think she will want to come back. And you know what? She will be reunited with her loved ones. That's what the Bible has promised us. We will see the loved one. I remember one day on a prayer meeting, I think it's David gave an example. Not an example, he read something from somewhere. Someone died. I don't know if it was you, David, or someone said that. And he went to heaven. And he met somebody, said, I'm your sister or brother, was it? And he said, I never knew you. He said, yeah, I died when I was a child. They didn't even knew him. But there, they knew each other. You know how good that it is. You go there, you meet the relative which you never even knew. When we think of it, really, it is better than here. It is the best, in fact, because God has prepared for us, for those who love him, that we will have everlasting life, that we will rejoice with him, that we will be dancing forever, we will be rejoicing forever. There will be no sorrow. There will be no crying. There will be no illness. There will be no thought of, oh, what am I going to eat? There will be no thought of thinking. It's just, he said, it's joy forevermore. Who doesn't want to have that kind of gift? Lord, help us that on that day, no, none of us will be left behind. That we will see you on that day. And we will sing and rejoice with you. Amen.